pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright.
We know at a certain level, shame works. Shame is essentially the lie that says you don't measure up as you are now, and it's up to you to find a way to make yourself acceptable.
That's Pastor Alan Wright. Welcome to another message of good news that will help you see your life in a whole new light. I'm Daniel Britt, excited for you to hear today's message in the series titled Exponential Grace, as presented at Renolda Church in North Carolina. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource right now. It can be yours for your donation this month to Alan Wright Ministries. As you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at PastorAlan.org. That's PastorAlan.org. Or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on that later in the program. But right now, let's get started with today's teaching in the series, Praying with Power. Here is Alan Wright.
You ready for some good news? Our God of grace gives us the opportunity as His ambassadors to be part of the plan whereby His love goes on and on and on. That He gives us the privilege of imparting this grace to the generations. And as those who, both for our children or in our marriages or amongst our friendships and where we have influence in relationships, we are given a privilege of being a co-laborer with Christ. And who Christ is and what Christ did is shaped by the ministry of His own grace. I want to talk to you today about developing in your home, in your life, a palace of grace. Because people thrive best where there is no shame, and instead there is grace. We're going to look in Romans chapter 5. Paul begins this most excellent discourse that will take place over the next four chapters, which is both a description of what it means to be justified by grace through faith and a crescendo-like conclusion that invites us into the Spirit-led life rather than the life under the law. A life that is lived in a palace of grace is a life wherein we know spiritually that we are royalty and that we are accepted in the Beloved through the unmerited gift of Jesus Christ. And this is extraordinary what Paul has to say here in Romans 5 about the power of that gospel at work. He says at verse 1, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." And here is my primary focus. Again, verse 5. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. It happened to me again this week with my kids. We homeschool, and so we got a lot of flexibility. And one day I wanted to go out and play some golf. I was ready to wind down a little bit. So I went and I went to my Bennett, who just turned 18 this week. I said, "Bennett, let's go play some golf." And it's a beautiful day. He said, "Dad," he said, "man, I'd love to," he said, "but I've got some physics I got to do, some problems, and I'm filling out some college applications. I really need to get on all this stuff." It's beautiful outside. And we homeschool. I'm the principal of the homeschool. You know, what's up with this? And so being the highly inspiring and motivational parent that I am, I said to him, "Blow it off, dude. Come on, let's go." no, Dad, I need to get this stuff done. And so I said, all right, okay, I'm proud of you for wanting to get your work done. I went and go, my 13-year-old Abigail, just turned 14 yesterday, I said, Abby, I said, it's a beautiful day. We could go ride bikes, take a walk, go to the park, do something fun. You want to go play? You want to go have a little fun? She said, Dad, I'd love to. She said, but I've got an essay that I'm working on, and I got some Spanish that I need to do. So being the inspiring and motivational parent that I am and the principal of homeschool, I said, blow it off. It's a beautiful day. Come on, you could do that later. You know, why do now what you could put off till later? I mean, you know, just like, no, Dad, I need it. I walked away. I was just like, what's wrong with this picture? There's a role reversal that has taken place here. And then I chuckled and I laughed and I said, this is actually, of course, the thing every parent ever dreams of, is that your child would take ownership of their life and want to pursue something, not because there's a threat of a bad grade or a threat of punishment hanging over them, but because for some reason it's gotten into them to be invested with their life. What is it that motivates people in life? About 1993, I was doing fine, minding my own business, pastoring a Presbyterian church in another city, and everything was going well, and God sovereignly orchestrated it that there would be a new touch on my life from the Holy Spirit that would cause an abounding joy to come in my life that I'd never tasted before. I don't think I was an unpleasant person to be around, but I wasn't as happy as I am now. Earlier, I was a more pressure-packed person inside, at least I was. I mean, I could go out and have fun, and I like to do things and all, but inside, there was a lot of pressure. That's all I can say. It's like there's a lot of pressure to do it right, a lot of pressure to make it right, a lot of pressure to look okay. And even in the pastorate, I found myself, I was too perfectionistic. I was working too much. I was concerned about too many things, and I took too much responsibility for others. All this was going on in my life, and I was kind of pretty. And God just touched my life so much in 1993 and began an incredible healing and really made me a different person. What I'm saying is really the person I am now is very different than who I used to be. Thanks be to God. Well, we had been wanting to have a child. We'd not been able to conceive. And anybody that's ever wanted to be a parent and you've not been able to conceive, you know there's a unique pain that goes with that. And you realize that, you know, this that many parents can just take for granted that they were able to have children is not something to be taken for granted, because every child's just a miracle. And we had been so longing to have a child, and we were beginning to be very concerned about whether we'd be able to have children. Well, our dear friends and this Pentecostal evangelist friend of mine, we were down at a renewal meeting down in Florida in January of 1994, after all of this change had been coming in my life. And we were sitting in a hotel room together before or after one of these meetings, and we're just brimming with faith and love for God, and we just love them. And they opened up with us and said, we've been trying to conceive a child. We would like to have children. We haven't been able to so far. And we said, we're that same place. And my friend, he's just got that kind of faith. He said, well, you know what we need to do? We just need to pray in agreement right now that God just give us children right away. Of course, I got my Presbyterian theology working over here. Like, you know, listen, you can't control God. And, you know, we pray more polite prayers. Like, you know, would you please, God, maybe if it be your will, you know, do something good. He didn't pray like that. He was just like, let's pray a prayer agreement. I didn't have much faith, really, honestly, but he had faith, and I had faith in his faith. And the little bit of faith I did have, I said, well, I'll join with you. And we joined hands, and he said, Lord God, he said, we just thank you that children are a blessing, and we just claim and receive from you the blessing of children we'll have right away. And so I said, amen. And Bennett was born in September 27th, and 3 weeks later, their daughter, Sarah Sue, was born. So I knew going into the whole parenting gig that this was a miracle that had taken place. And I decided we're going to try and experiment.
That's Alan Wright. And we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Before God commanded Adam and Eve to be fruitful, He blessed them. Before God called Abraham to father a nation, He blessed him. Before God released His Son into ministry, He blessed him. Why? Because blessing is God's secret strategy to empower you to be all He made you to be. When others affirm you, most of the time it's because you've proven your worth. Maybe you did well on a test, accomplished a goal, or proved yourself competent. Such affirmation is nice, but it's not the way of God. God's strategy is to declare your worth before you have done anything to prove it. In the kingdom of God, blessing is the fuel for your productivity, not the reward for it. Maybe you need your heart to be healed from old wounds caused by others withholding their blessing, or maybe you're ready to shatter that invisible ceiling that keeps you from soaring. Either way, Pastor Allen writes, the power of blessing will change your life. Change how you interact with others as you discover the ancient skill of the Hebrew patriarchs as they bless their children. Learn how to tune your heart to accept blessing and reject curse. Most of all, drink in the unquenchable blessing of God in Jesus Christ. Get motivated God's way with Alan Wright's 7-message CD album, The Power of Blessing. When you make your gift to Alan Wright Ministries today, we'll send you Pastor Alan's messages in an attractive CD album or through digital download as our way of saying thanks for your partnership. The gospel is shared when you give to Alan Wright Ministries. This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support. When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Alan Wright Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastoralan.org.
Today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
This new thing that I was discovering of joy and the abounding grace of the Lord Jesus, I said, what if we could just have an environment of grace instead of shame? This is an experiment. Would a kid ever find motivation in life? Because see, here's what I think most of us have bought into. We tend to think that if you give people unconditional love and unconditional acceptance, if you show unmerited favor towards people, if you assure people of a blessed future and a blessed destiny, then they're not going to try. They're just going to get lazy. And we do this because we know at a certain level shame works. Shame is essentially the lie that says you don't measure up as you are now, and it's up to you to find a way to make yourself acceptable. And knowing that every child, every spouse, every employee, that people around us, what they want is they want love and acceptance. They want to have that more than anything else. And knowing that, what we tend to do, and sometimes it's just very subtle, but we tend to just withhold that love and acceptance. We tend to withhold the grace because then we'll just make you run harder after it. And yet what we realize is if this will motivate somebody, then we can always dangle it in front of them just a little bit. And the thing that happens, I think, so often in so many of our homes is that, and in our lives, our relationships, is that we may even say, well, we're going to have a lot of grace here. But when we introduce law and shame in the midst of that, it's the same thing I've been saying about the gospel in recent months, where I've made this point that if I told my wife 99 days in a row, I love you, I'm never going to leave you, and then the 100th day I said, I'm not sure if I love you and I might leave you unless you measure up, that one day, that 1% sort of wipes out the other 99, doesn't it? Paul says that a little bit of law, a little bit of shame, it infects the whole loaf. That's what happens. And so I think what happens in most of us, most of our upbringing and most of our lives is because, people sometimes get a little desperate and they want to motivate, we just introduce a little bit of law and shame. And this is the great temptation that I have found in parenting and in pastoring over these years. And that is that if first it seems like that this grace thing isn't working, you just kind of, after a while, you try and say, well, I tried that. Now I'm going to come over here. I'm going to shame somebody into it now if it doesn't work. And so I wanted to have this experiment with this little boy that was born into our lives. I just wanted to have an experiment with the kids. And listen, we have by no means done this perfectly. And I could fill up the day with times that I've messed up, lost my cool or whatever. But I'm saying my intent was to build what I now would call a palace of grace. And not about a physical structure, but about something that is invisible, about an environment in which people can know that they are assured of blessedness, that they are assured of an identity that is full of expectancy and joy, where there is quick forgiveness and there's very little condemnation. What would happen if you had an environment like that? Would somebody be able to thrive in that environment? And so it's been a sentimental week for me because my boy turned 18 this week. And 18, when we came to this church, he was one. And he's 18, and he's a man, and he's filling out college applications. He's going to vote in the election. He said the other day, he said, "Why couldn't I have had a better election than this one to vote in?" But he's going to vote. You get out and vote too. And he's 18, so I'm sort of sentimental because it goes very fast. It goes very, very fast. But it makes you go back and reflect a little bit about what actually works. And I just want to, can I just give a testimony? Grace works. It works. It doesn't work on cleaning up rooms, but it works on everything. It works. Grace, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're in grace, unmerited favor and gift of saving power in our lives is given to us through Christ who died for the ungodly. This is what Paul is saying later in Romans 5, Christ, he died while we were still in our sin and were his enemies. That's how powerful the grace of God is. That the grace of God is powerful enough to redeem your life from the pit. That the grace of God is powerful enough to take people who were destined for hell and curse and instead snatch them out from the clutches of darkness and bring them into the glorious kingdom of light of his own beloved Son. Grace is that powerful. The gospel is so powerful that it can dismantle every pretension and argument that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. The grace of God is so powerful that it can transform your life so much that you move from being an orphan to being an heir and an heir with Jesus Christ himself. This is our gospel. I just want, and I have wanted to do this as a parent, I want to do it as a pastor, and I want to just invite anybody who would get excited about it to, with your life, therefore, trust in the power of that gospel and do not be duped by the ways of the world, reverting back to old ways of law and shame and accusation and condemnation and shame, which work for a short time but produce slaves. Instead, take the route of the grace of God, which transformed my life and yours, and believe, therefore, it could transform someone else. What I'm saying is, if the gospel of grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is powerful enough to redeem our lives from the pit of hell, how much more so should we implement that grace in the upbringing of our children and the enjoyment of our marriage and the way that we work in our office and the way that we carry ourselves in daily life? Grace works. This is what Paul says at verse 5. The hope that is produced from this gospel does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. To really understand any part of the story, you always have to go back to the beginning of the story and remember that there was only one thing that we know about a relationship in paradise, only one verse, and that is that Adam and Eve were naked and they knew no shame. And as soon as sin entered the world, fear and shame and hiding came in. So paradise was the place where there was no shame. And hell, in the words of author Gordon Dalby, is the place where you bear your own shame. And so the restoration with God is going to look very much like what life was like before there was sin, except in a new way. The sin is forgiven, though we may still stumble. We are reconciled, Paul says, with God. So it is just as if we had not sinned. All of this to say is that you learn from the opening pages of your Bible that the atmosphere for growth for humanity is grace. The definition of life for Adam and Eve was grace. Grace means gift. Everything that they had was a gift, and they knew it. And this has not changed. Every good thing in your life is a gift. It's just they fellowshiped with God, and He walked with them in the cool of the day, and they knew they had not made themselves, and they knew they were made in His image. He was the Creator, so their life was a gift. Their life was a gift. Your life is a gift. That's grace. The garden, it was a gift. That's grace. And in that garden, God gave them a vocation, a calling. They were to tend the garden. So the environment of grace, the avenue of growth in that environment of grace was not a permissiveness that just anything, you can do anything. The grace was always accompanied with a calling for living out your life in the image of God. And God blessed Adam and Eve, and then He said, be fruitful and multiply. In other words, grace is the atmosphere in which human beings grow, and blessing is the strategy for human productivity. The environment in which we grow best is grace.
Alan Wright. In today's teaching, A Palace of Grace, why people grow best in an environment of grace.
Before God commanded Adam and Eve to be fruitful, He blessed them. Before God called Abraham to father a nation, He blessed him. Before God released His Son into ministry, He blessed him. Why? Because blessing is God's secret strategy to empower you to be all He made you to be. When others affirm you, most of the time it's because you've proven your worth. Maybe you did well on a test, accomplished a goal, or proved yourself competent. Such affirmation is nice, but it's not the way of God. God's strategy is to declare your worth before you have done anything to prove it. In the kingdom of God, blessing is the fuel for your productivity, not the reward for it. Maybe you need your heart to be healed from old wounds caused by others withholding their blessing, or maybe you're ready to shatter that invisible ceiling that keeps you from soaring. Either way, Pastor Alan writes, the power of blessing will change your life. Change how you interact with others as you discover the ancient skill of the Hebrew patriarchs as they bless their children. Learn how to tune your heart to accept blessing and reject curse. Most of all, drink in the unquenchable blessing of God in Jesus Christ. Get motivated God's way with Alan Wright's 7-message CD album, The Power of Blessing. When you make your gift to Alan Wright Ministries today, we'll send you Pastor Alan's messages in an attractive CD album or through digital download as our way of saying thanks for your partnership. The gospel is shared when you give to Alan Wright Ministries. This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support. When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Alan Wright Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastoralan.org.
Shame is a term that is used a lot in our ministry, primarily with the focus that shame, also known as condemnation, is not the gospel. And the phrase shame off you is used a lot. In fact, was the former title of your book. It's now titled Free Yourself, Be Yourself. But shame is so often used in the world, even in religious institutions, and it's used to wield power. And it's very effective at that, isn't it?
The reason people use shame, really, Daniel, is because it does work at a certain level, right? Yeah. I mean, knowing that children want love and acceptance more than anything else, sometimes a parent will wittingly or unwittingly withhold that love and acceptance in order to try to motivate the child. Teachers or coaches, and certainly religious authorities do this as well. But God's real plan, as we're learning in this series, is absolutely contrary to that. God's real plan of powerful change for our lives comes through what we might call exponential grace, that the deposit of love and blessedness and affirming words of vision over our lives, that gets handed down to us from generation to generation. And the more that we can receive that grace, I think it can displace all the lies of shame. And so it's obviously something that's very, very central to us, but it is absolutely central to everything that's powerful and important about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God changes us by His love. He doesn't change us by withholding His love.
Today's Good News message is a listener-supported production of Alan Wright Ministries.